So in our story so far, we've seen the need, the context for a leader who would take God's people and would deliver them out of the suffering, the slavery that they were in. And so we see that they needed God's salvation, God's rescue, and yet they couldn't do it alone. And God set the stage for a man to be born in such a way that he would actually be given to kind of the princess of the land, the Pharaoh's daughter, and he would be raised in the royal house as an Egyptian, and yet he, at the same time, knew his origins. He knew his mother and his sister and his brother and others. We see that he knows them later in his life when he returns back, but he knows them why? Because when he was young, he was plucked from a basket out of a river, and Pharaoh's daughter knew that she could nurse him, and so Miriam, his sister who had been following him, suggests that she could go find a Hebrew woman who could nurse him, right? And she reunites her own family, and so he's raised by his own mother, and he's raised in his own household and among his people up to a certain age, and then he's given over to the royal family to be raised by the Pharaoh's household. And from that point on, he is like an Egyptian. He gets all the Egyptian education and everything that he needs. And one day, we see him go out, and he's watching his people. He's conscious, and he knows that these are the people he came from. He is a Hebrew. And even though he's dressed as one of the royals of the Egyptian people, and he is considered Pharaoh's daughter's son, adopted son, he knows that this people, the Hebrew people, is where he rightfully belongs. And he witnesses something horrible happening, where they're being forced into labor, and he sees a specific incident where one Hebrew is being beaten by the slave master, by the guard who is watching after them. And he decides that he's going to do something about it. Right? This is the first moment where Moses is putting all of his training, his learning, his education, his blessing of being in Pharaoh's household to be built up as a leader. It's the first time he's taking a step to be that leader for his people, and he completely screws it up, right? How many of you could relate a little bit to Moses? Yeah, murderers, jeez. Notice I didn't raise my hand. I've never murdered anybody. No, we can all really relate to it. We're not murderers. We didn't kill somebody. But we have all used our leadership potential in ways that were harmful or in ways that probably weren't, at very least, weren't helpful towards those we were trying to lead. We've made mistakes. Let me see a show of hands real quick. Everybody in here who has made a mistake in your life at any time, raise your hand. There's a few hands I don't see up. I need to talk to you after the worship service because you should be up here preaching and leading this church and I should be somewhere else because I've made plenty of mistakes. So here is Moses. He was raised by Pharaoh's daughter and he's prime for leadership. He's in a perfect position to be the leader of his people and he strikes out to begin to try and lead them, to usher them, to do something with his heart and his passion for his people. And he makes a huge mistake, a fatal mistake, really. And he kills one of the Egyptian guards. So Moses makes a huge, huge mistake. Remember that we have been looking at this idea of Moses being formed and shaped into the leader that God wanted him to be over the last 2 weeks. And we looked at two different concepts of things that we can learn from Moses' story in the context around Moses' life that help to form us as leaders, as God's leaders in the world, as lights, as like a city on a hill or a light on the lampstand. We are God's ambassadors in this world as Christians. Each and every one of you is a leader. And so how do you make your life a fruitful life of leadership in God? And we've been looking at this idea that in Moses' story, Moses being faithful to the call of God is always what lends him to be or leads him to be fruitful in God's kingdom. When he tries to do his things his way, his own way, oftentimes things get really messed up. And we see that regularly throughout Moses' story. We see that throughout all of Israel's story too as we continue to read on in the Old Testament past the first five books of the Bible. We see that Israel continues to make mistakes when they choose to do things their way and not God's way. And so we see that the key to being God's leader is to be faithful to God's will and God's call in your life. And in faithfulness, he will make you fruitful. So Moses makes a mistake. His first mistake may be on a large scale as a leader, but he's probably made all kinds of other mistakes before this. We all know this as we grow up. We make all kinds of mistakes and we learn from them. But his first mistake was a fatal mistake where he killed a man in order to protect his people. Now, it seems justified, right? Doesn't it seem like it's justified? Doesn't it seem like a righteous thing that he did? He killed a slave driver. He killed a man who was violently beating an innocent human being to get them to do work for the Egyptian people for really no pay or very, very little pay. And they were forced into this labor. And so isn't it a righteous thing that Moses would free this oppressed people through an action of killing the leader? We could look at it that way, and many people have made those justifications over the years, right? We've seen all kinds of wars fought with the same kinds of justifications. We've seen all kinds of assassinations and other things where we believe that doing this is good in the end, and so the end justifies whatever means we might use to accomplish it. And yet, what is the fruit from this in Moses' life? Does it lead to something that's good for Moses? Not really, right? Because right afterwards, what does he do? He tries to cover it up. How many of you have tried to cover up something good? A few? Well, okay, maybe for good reasons. But most of us, if we do something good, we don't need to be ashamed of it. We don't need to hide it, right? And so if there's some kind of temptation to begin to bury the truth, to hide it, there's probably an indication that there's not real righteous fruitfulness coming out of that, right? There's not something good coming out of that. How many of you have hidden something that you're embarrassed of? Okay, a few more people, right? And so Moses kills this man. He begins to hide the body. But soon he's found out. The Hebrew people have seen him, and they've rejected his leadership because his leadership is not God's leadership at this point. He's not ready to be the leader of God's people. And they sensed it. They knew it. Because what would keep him from turning on them and killing them? He just killed a man in cold blood. And so what would keep him from doing the same thing as a dictator over the Israelite people? And so they kind of turn on him, or at least these two who are fighting turn on him. And Moses immediately knows that the word is spreading, and soon Pharaoh would find out, and Pharaoh would not have anything of that. He's already a foreigner, a stranger, living in Pharaoh's household. If he does something wrong, of course he's going to be punished, and he'll probably be punished with death for killing one of the workers. And so he flees out into the desert, and he goes off on his own to hide from Pharaoh, right? How many of you have run away from mistakes that you've made in the past? A few of us. If I should have just had you keep your hands up, and I should have asked after that, how many of you had it catch up to you at some point? Yeah, a few of us, where we've made a mistake, we've run away from it, and it's caught up to us. And Moses flees out into the desert, and he becomes a man of isolation, living out in the desert for 40 years. And he was out there for a long time, shepherding sheep out in the desert by himself, away from not only his people, the Hebrew people, but also away from the family that raised him in Pharaoh's court, and way out there in the desert. So what do we do when we make mistakes? We as Christians, what do when we make mistakes? Do we run away from the mistakes that we've made and try and hide and go someplace that maybe people don't know us? I can't tell you how often it is that people make a mistake in a congregation and then they are embarrassed. I'm not saying it's happened in our congregation. They're embarrassed about their actions. And so what do? They pick up and leave away from that congregation and go to a new congregation, a fresh start, right? Where nobody knows they've made that mistake. And they start in a new congregation. But that's not dealing with the issues, right? That's not dealing with the mistake that you've made. It's not dealing with some kind of reconciliation, some kind of forgiveness maybe that you need to embrace in your position. You're running away from your mistakes. How many of us have tried to hide or bury or burn our problems in some form or another, right? Just try and get rid of them so that nobody will know them. We'll just make sure that it stays quiet, and hopefully nobody will catch on to us. A lot of us have done that too. So we hide from our problems. But this is not what we're called to do, and this is not what we're called to be. Notice Moses in his story here. God already begins to turn Moses' heart and make him realize what he did wrong in his first attempt at leadership. Notice his first attempt at leadership over his people, the Hebrew people. He asserts himself using violence, right? He destroys rather than builds up or creates, and he fails at it. And then he finds himself in the desert, and he's sitting at a well, and he sees seven women who are trying to bring their sheep in to be watered by a well. And they can't get there because there's some unruly shepherds there who are harassing them, teasing them, whatever it is, or maybe even physically assaulting these women. And Moses witnesses it. And he's already learned from his mistake. What does he do? Does he kill those shepherds? No. No, he doesn't. Somehow, he gets in between the shepherds and the women, and he protects the women. And instead of using destruction as a tool of leadership, what does he do? He uses humility. He uses service. He helps, right? He waters the flock for these women. In fact, maybe the men were driving the women away because they were women and they didn't belong in this profession. But the man only had daughters, so he only had daughters to do the work in there. And so they were by necessity were coming to the well. And the men probably just didn't want the women around because that's very often how Middle Eastern cultures work. And so Moses probably, more than anything, went and took the sheep and he watered them for the women so that they could be left alone. So Moses learns from his mistake. He turns it around. He chooses not to make that mistake again. When we run from our mistakes, when we hide our mistakes, we tend to do what? Repeat our mistakes, right? We tend to repeat them. When we deal with them, when we face them head on, when we recognize that we've made a mistake and we learn from it, we turn ourselves around and we begin to do things a different way and maybe learn to do things God's way instead of our own way. Last thing I want to look at in this story is that God redeems our mistakes. Now, I did say at the beginning of this, did this lead to any kind of fruitfulness for Moses' life? Well, in the short term, it didn't seem like it. Right now, he's fleeing from his people, having to go away from his home, going away from everything he's known because he's afraid that he's going to be killed by the most powerful man on earth, rightfully so because he murdered one of that guy's lieutenants. And so he's fearful for his life. But at the same time, God uses this mistake and turns it into a fruitful event in Moses' life. Think about this. Moses spends 40 years in the desert shepherding. What's Moses' call going to be when we look at it next week? Shepherding, not sheep anymore, people who are more unruly than sheep, which is saying a lot if you've been around sheep. But he's being given a lesson towards the very thing that God is going to call him to do, to be a shepherd over God's people in the desert. And so there's another key there. Not only does Moses learn what shepherding is, not only does he learn how to lead in a gentle, humble way like shepherds do, he also learns the land, right? He now knows the desert like the back of his hand. So when God tells him to bring the people out of Egypt and into the desert, Moses knows this land very well. He's been wandering around it, feeding his sheep and tending to his flock for 40 years. And so we see that he takes them through a route that very much resembles kind of his own fleeing out of Egypt and into Midian. And they go around in the desert, and he knows this land. He's not a foreigner here anymore, right? He is a foreigner residing in a foreign land, but he gets to know the land so well, he's like a local. How many of you have ever been to a city before and not had anybody to show you around? Is it frustrating trying to find your way around? Yes. You guys have heard me say this before. Pittsburgh is like one of the worst places to visit if you're a stranger because it is built with no sense at all. It's two rivers that come together in between a bunch of mountains, and they just kind of like, I don't know, spilled some spaghetti on a map and said, yeah, that looks like a good road map. And that's kind of how their roads are laid out. And then all the time, too, roads will change names without ever telling you it changes names. And so the locals all have different names for the roads that aren't the names that are actually on the roads. And they'll give you directions and they'll tell you, oh, yeah, you're going to go down this road and you're going to turn left where the yellow bank used to be. And you think, wait a minute, used to be? And they're like, yeah, it used to be. I tore that down like 6 years ago. Well, then why are you giving it to me as some kind of a landmark? But when you go someplace you've never been before and you don't have a local guide, it's hard to find your way around. How many of you have been somewhere you've never been, but you have a local to show you around? Not only do you get to see everything and it's easy, you get to see the things that most tourists don't, right? Because they don't know about it. The special spots, the spots that only the locals know about. And so Moses is like a local now. He knows this land, and when he brings the Israelite people through it, when he brings the Hebrews through it, he's going to be an expert guide for them through this land. The third thing that Moses is transformed in, that God redeems in his mistake, is Moses is no longer an arrogant and haughty leader. He's no longer one who's looking out among his people and thinking, I have been raised by Pharaoh. I'm in great power. I could be the savior of these people. I'm going to do it with force. Instead, when God calls him with that burning bush, like we'll see next week, when God calls him, he humbly comes before the Lord. He follows the command to take off his shoes on this holy ground. And then when God extends the offer to him to go and lead his people, what does Moses say? I'm not good enough for this job, right? What a great change of heart that has happened to him in those 40 years in the desert to make him the man that he needs to be. This week, as you look at your own mistakes, and you realize how God has brought you through them, maybe you can think through whether or not you've dealt with some of those mistakes fully and owned up to them and learned from them, or whether you're still hiding from them and running from them. Or maybe if you have dealt with them, maybe you can look back and you could praise God for using those mistakes to make you into the person you are today so that you are a better ambassador for His grace out in the world. As we come to worship God this week, don't be afraid of your mistakes. Instead, own up to them and be like Moses. Let God redeem them in you, transform you into the person He desires you to be, and overcome those mistakes to be faithful in God's will.